Against the Times is sponsored in part by Bob Johnson Insurance, an independent, full-service agency featuring Erie Insurance products, is celebrating over 55 years, insuring East Tennesseans from auto, home, life, and so much more. For a personalized, no-obligation quote, they can be reached at 865-922-3111 or online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Meds for Stat has underwritten this edition of Signs of the Times. Meds for Stat is medications to prepare you for such a time as this. Meds for Stat provides access to medication kits containing an emergency supply of possibly life-saving antibiotics as well as other medications and a treatment guide. Go to medsforstat.com or phone 1-888-RX4STAT.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars, and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
The Ezekiel prophecy players need more time to set up their performance. One state in particular is doing its part to help lawlessness abound. The enemy is working hard to squelch freedom around the globe, so we'll go around the globe to bring you the Signs of the Times, our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, January 30th, 2026. You can listen or watch any of our episodes again. You can share them with your friends. You can read the articles we talk about, or you can ask Pastor Mark a prophecy question when you visit the Signs of the Times section on thewaymedia.net or grab our Way Media app from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And now, here's someone with today's deep thought that when you clean out a vacuum cleaner, you become a vacuum cleaner. And that's Pastor Mark, who was recently scheduled to do the funeral of the man who invented Tupperware. But they had to postpone it while they try to find the right lid for his casket.
I'm not going to make any comments there.
No, that's okay.
Yeah,
because you want to know why the jokes are like winter.
Yes,
they're cold. The food is scarce.
Yes,
you know there's no leaves on the trees. There's no joke leaves on the trees.
Right. I wouldn't want to be in Tupperware. I want to go. Let's just get this. I'm gone. Let this thing decay. We're done. So anyway.
Yeah, we don't want to keep things hermetically sealed.
That's right.
Okay. Before we get into articles, there are some things that are on your heart that have developed over this past week that you want to talk about.
Yeah, just kind of general. Yeah. Discussion time. And you know, one thing I wanted to revisit for our listeners, because a lot of times I'll get questions after the fact and people bring things up, and I think, well, I'll do a clarification on a couple of things, really clarification on one, and then a new topic that has come up twice now in 1 week, which makes me think maybe this is something that's starting to stir out there in the world of Christianity. So I'll address that in a moment. But the first thing is we talked again last week about this Board of Peace that President Trump is putting together. And looking at it and seeing so many things that he's doing that really line up with the Antichrist, I made a comment about that, but I made it very clear I do not believe he's the Antichrist. As a matter of fact, I think it's impossible for him to be the Antichrist. And I just want to verify why, because I didn't really give any scripture last week. Again, the Antichrist, guys, is going to be, it would appear from scripture, is going to be Jewish. A lot of people try to present the Antichrist is going to be a Muslim, and they use that, you know, so he's going to be a Muslim because all the heads get cut off and that kind of stuff. So It does kind of, I can see how that could sway you to think that. But when you read in Daniel about the Antichrist, it says specifically about him. He says, and this is in Daniel 11:37. It says, he shall regard neither the God of his fathers nor the desire of women. Now, those two things are very Jewish statements, very Jewish. Let me explain. And then he goes on and says, nor regard any God, for he will exalt himself above them all. But if you don't know that these are very, very Jewish sayings, it won't jump out to you. But if you do know that, it does. So it says, the Antichrist will not regard the God of his fathers. The Jews talked about the God of their fathers being Yahweh, Jehovah. He was the God of their fathers. That's it's a very common historical term for God. Mm-hmm. So when you hear that, the God of your fathers, you immediately think about the Jew. Now, I'm not saying there's nobody else that does that. There may be. But that's very, very Jewish in its terminology. And the second one confuses people because it's very Jewish as well, and it's what it has caused some people to think that maybe he's homosexual.
Yeah,
because he said he will not regard the desire of women,
which I've heard before. Yeah,
yeah. But again, if you don't know Jewish history, yeah, that could be a plausible thought or argument. But there's something else you need to realize: it's not just the God of your fathers that's a regular Jewish phrase. The desire of women is a historic Jewish phrase. Very common among the Jews. Jews throughout history would have known exactly what that meant. And what that is another reference to the Messiah. The Messiah was called in the Jewish culture for thousands of years, the desire of women. Why was he called the desire of women? Because every woman wanted to give birth to the Messiah. They knew he was going to be, the Messiah is going to be born. Who's going to get to have that honor to be the mother, you know, that brings in the Messiah? Of course, Mary got that honor. So what he's saying is here, if you understand those, the background of those, if you read this if we put this just in English terminology in what this means to a Jew, I would read that verse this way. The Antichrist shall regard neither Yahweh or Jehovah, which is the God of the fathers of Israel, nor the Messiah, who is the desire of women. So that, you know, that pretty much kind of, you know, like I said, doesn't mean that he couldn't be homosexual. He could be homosexual and still not regard the Messiah.
Right.
But that's not a verse you can use to say, okay, he's a homosexual. So either way, whoever's going to be again, and because of that, the God of his fathers, well, that pretty much locks you into a Jew.
So we've talked about this before where we thought that somehow the Antichrist would have to have a lineage that linked not only to Judaism, that he'd have a Jewish heritage, but he would also somehow have a Muslim or Arabic or some sort of heritage in that direction to get the other side to agree. But are you really saying because the Antichrist is going to, at the midway point, not be persecuting everyone, he's going to be targeting the Jews,
yeah,
that he's got to be accepted by the Jews in order to become ensconced with the Jews, versus he doesn't really need to be accepted from the Muslim side or the Arab side, because for whatever reason, they're going to go along with him being this guy that brings the peace and does all those things,
right,
because they experienced a lot of loss in the Battle of Ezekiel. Is that kind of where we're leaning now with that thinking?
Well, let me get a further elaborate on that. You know, the Bible doesn't say he's going to be mixed.
No, we've just talked about that before.
Yeah, we've kind of just surmised that he might be mixed. And I do believe, Greg, it is still possible for him to have some Arab blood, if you will, and still be accepted by the Jewish people as Jewish. If he's a mixture of Jew and Arab, but he's living the Jewish lifestyle, he's professing as a Jew, they would probably accept him as he could be the Messiah and the Jew. Again, as long as he's Jewish, I think they could probably get by with that.
So that's the important point.
I think you could still have maybe a mixture of both, and I look toward that as a possibility because, you know, how are they going to accept him? Now, it's interesting. A lot of the secular Jews today, they say they don't care what he is. The secular Jews will say, we don't care his background. He just comes and saves. He could be anybody. He could be a Gentile. If he comes and saves the world, the Jews, then we'll accept him as the Savior or whatever. But these are the totally non-religious secular Jews.
And they're probably speaking out of desperation for wanting peace, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so for them, it doesn't matter. But for those that are Orthodox, they're not. This guy's going to have to at least be Jewish. He may have some other blood in him, but he's got to be Jewish and declare himself to be Jewish, or they're not going to accept him. So understand that about this. You know, what my comment about President Trump was is that he's putting a lot of things in place that really do look like the foundation for the Antichrist when he comes on the scene. And, you know, again, this Board of Peace we talked about, I don't know how many have actually committed yet on paper, but it's already way more than 10 already. So this is not the 10 that are coming together like the 10 toes. But I believe this very possibly could be the organization that ends up at 10, where the Antichrist rises up. And we talked about last week, you know, the authority to put anybody you want in place. And I've heard more than once, we discussed it again today, the possibility, you know, say, well, you know, President Trump, maybe he'll put Kushner in there because that's his son-in-law who's Jewish. And, you know, who knows for sure? But again, the bottom line is that when you read about the Antichrist, it says that he will have just
fierce features.
Yeah, fierce features, which again gives the indication of this guy's going to look awesome. He's going to be a commanding presence. And nothing against Kushner, nothing against him, but he does not have what I would call fierce features.
You know what's interesting about that? You know, we've talked about this many times before, the ways or to the lengths with which that Satan is going to go and has gone to mock or imitate Christ.
Right.
And that the Antichrist is going to be mocking and imitating a lot of things.
Right.
Except for this one thing, his appearance. Because when we read everything in Scripture, that the appearance of Jesus when he was here on earth was so indescript that he just blended in. He looked like a regular Joe,
yes,
for lack
did.
Of a better term.
Yes, he
didn't stand out as some like Adonis or some like what we see, that we think of like a beautiful model or Hollywood movie star or something like that. He clearly did not have fierce features, but yet the Antichrist will have fierce features.
I think
that's an interesting contrast there.
I think it's a great contrast because Jesus came kind of in that whole thing, the humble way.
Yes.
And this guy's going to be, it's all about me. I'm everything. Look at me, how great I am. So yeah, you're going to see a lot. And that's another thing, you know, with President Trump, he's very braggadocious.
Yes, he is.
He is. And so that's the Antichrist, the Bible says, is going to be very, very braggadocious. He's going to be very, very, I'm great. Look how wonderful I am. I mean, to the point, at some point, saying he's God. So this word fierce features he's going to have. The word means strong, strength, fierceness, mighty, powerful. It can be for God or man, it says, generally occurs in a petition for one to show strength. Since he is already inherently strong. So he's going to not just be strong, this guy's going to look commanding. He's going to look strong. When you see him, you're going to think, wow, it's almost like when they saw Saul. And they were like, yeah, he's head and shoulders above everybody else. That's got to be the king. Or remember when the oldest brother came in front of Samuel when he came to anoint David? He said, certainly, you're the one, you know, you're the one, you're the king. Because he was strong and all that. He said, no, I look at the heart. So he's going to appeal, like just like the Antichrist, like you talked about there, Greg. He's going to appeal to the eyes. The flesh is going to go, this is our hero. This is the guy. So he's going to look like that. And I've shared this with our listeners. I'll share it again now. The Bible does not say how old he will be. So please don't think this is the Bible. I think the danger of sharing some of these things is that people think, well, Mark said the Bible says that. No, the Bible doesn't tell us his age. But because I see what an imitator, he is such an imitator. The only thing he's not going to do is come humbly. But he's such an imitator of Christ. I suspect that Satan's going to raise up somebody that's going to be 30 when they take power, only because that's when Jesus started as the Messiah. He started at 30. And so I think he's going to try to be, I'm now the new Messiah at 30. And I may be wrong on that, but it's just a hunch because he does everything else in such an imitative way.
You know, what's really another thing that's interesting about President Trump is that, you know, President Trump, not necessarily his first term, you know, but more so, I think the climate in our country where he came in during his second term, and he was still braggadocious. He's probably even more so than he was in his first term. But what's interesting is that when you talk to people that are supporters of President Trump, while they might wish that he had more, you know, he didn't have the rough edges of being braggadocious as you've described it, what people are happy about is what he's doing for the country. And so they're willing to put up with his personality because he's doing so many things that the conservative side believes is the right thing to do for this country.
Right.
So now let's fast forward into the time of the Battle of Ezekiel and the condition that the world's going to be in and the effects of that battle, what it's going to wreak upon the world and upon that region. And now you've got a guy with that same type of braggadocious personality, probably even worse, I would imagine. But people are going to be so desperate for help and for change the way this country has been from the past administration that they'll be willing to put up with that if it means that you're going to finally bring us peace.
Right. Yeah. People compromise on everything to get what the ultimate goal is.
Exactly.
You know, it's interesting. We talk about Antiochus Epiphanes IV as a picture of the Antichrist. And I'm not going to go so far as to say that our president is that as well. But Greg, there are a lot of things that in some ways he is such a picture to me of what the Antichrist is going to be like. The braggadociousness, the fierce features. He's a big man. He looks commanding. You know, you see, even when you see him with his other world leaders, he looks very commanding.
He's got some Samson traits in him too.
Right. He's bringing peace around the world. He's doing these peace things or whatever. And it's interesting. This just now hit me. It didn't occur to me until just now. I mean, it occurred to me about the assassination attempt, but not the details of it. You know, the Bible says the Antichrist, you know, as you know, President Trump was shot on his right side, his right ear, and it just went by. Well, the Bible says the Antichrist is going to be shot in the right eye. He's going to lose an eye and an arm on that side. Now, well, the reason I say right eye is because he loses his use of arm on the right side. So unless maybe there's some reverse in the brain, I could be wrong on that, but it would appear he's going to have an assassination attempt, be shot on the right side, where he will lose sight in one eye and the ability in one arm. It's almost like it's like a precursor. It's like a foreshadowing. He's not the fulfillment, but it's almost like, man, this is a really almost bizarre, creepy kind of picture of what it's going to be like. Now, you know, another thing that concerns me, and again, to be watching for, again, with the president, and I'm not concerned about him being the Antichrist. I've said that too much. I'm sorry. I keep saying that. But remember, he's not a believer, so the enemy can sway him. And in the recent things that have happened in Minnesota, we talked about, I believe the Antichrist is going to have to, at some point, do away with everybody's guns. I mean, he's got to do away with the Second Amendment somehow, because you got to take people's guns away in order to be able to control them. And just recently, there's been kind of some just kind of background rumbling about maybe we should change the gun laws. Even with President Trump making the comment about, I didn't like the fact that that man had a gun on him, you know. And then Pam Bondi, I think, was talking about maybe we have to look at the gun laws. And maybe they're only looking at it in light of around law enforcement. I don't know what that means and all. But my point is, there's this whole kind of wave of moving forward of the spirit of Antichrist that I would expect to see taking place leading into the Antichrist. So very interesting, and that's kind of a side rabbit trail there on the other one that I brought up. But again, you can't deny a lot of the similarities, and I think that's why a lot of people started wondering, could he be? But I just want to rest you assured, he could be a picture in some way, but he's certainly not the Antichrist, because he's not Jewish and doesn't fit many of the things that have to be there for the Antichrist. Plus, I believe this leader is going to be rising up out of Europe, which is where the center of the Roman Empire was. Of course, America, there wasn't really an established people group. I mean, there were, you know, natives that lived here, no doubt, but not an established seen by the world, you know. So it's going to I believe he's going to rise up out of Europe. And I even have some suspicion it could be somewhere out of Greece, not because of some things where the little horn comes out of the division of the Greece leaders after the Greek Empire falls. He divides it up into four different Greek rulers, and out of one of those Greek rulers, that small horn rises up in Daniel. So it doesn't mean he has to be Greek, but sometimes I look at that and wonder, is this guy going to come out of Greece? I don't know. Either way, we'll find out. You know, we shouldn't be chasing it down too much, I guess, but it's kind of fun to think about in some ways as you look around. But we're always, our eyes are to be on the Christ, not the Antichrist. We know that. But as prophecy guys, we can't help sometimes, but maybe getting in the weeds a little bit. Kind of fun there. Another thing I wanted to bring up, and I've heard this now twice in 1 week. This hasn't really come up ever that I can remember. I don't remember it in my entire Christian life until this week. And it's come up twice. And that makes me think, well, maybe there's a new movement out there. Maybe there's somebody starting to promote something. And that is that somehow God is not outside of time. It's always just kind of been accepted that God is outside of time. He's eternal. And he created time for us, the rotation of the earth, all this year. And we're inside of time. He's outside of time. And I've never really had anybody challenge that, where somebody says, you know, hey, I think God is inside of time. And I got an email this week. And, I don't want to turn away any honest questions, but I had an email this week, somebody asking about that. Then I had somebody meet with me in the office that said they go here to a local Christian university, and their professor was teaching that God is also inside of time, and he's limited by time, and et cetera, et cetera. And I'm like, I don't know where that's coming from, but I may have an answer because of the email that I got. But here's the bottom line. To be inside of time, there has to be a beginning. Time starts at a starting point, and that's what starts the time clock. So something has to go click to start it, and then now you have time. Well, God has no beginning, no end. His name is I Am, which means simply the existing one. So what that means is that he can't be inside of time, because he just is. He just exists. There was never a time when he started. And the only way you could have God inside of time is if time it started and then God started after that. But if God's outside of that, you can't do it. And one of the comments that came up was, well, what about the 30 minutes in heaven when nobody said anything? It gives us 30 minutes and gives us a timestamp, and we're there with John's vision. You have to remember, John's vision, that was still during the time that the earth existed. If you go back and read that, that the earth still exists, the sun still exists, all the rotation of the planets, that is, time still exists during the book of Revelation. The only time that time ends during the book of Revelation is at the very end when it talks about the new heaven and the new earth, when we get into Revelation 21, when God destroys this current time-formed universe and goes back to the eternal with a new heaven and a new earth. And we don't see anything about time after that, as far as I remember. So, I would expect that there still be time stamps during Revelation for John's sake, for our sake, as we understand it, because God's still operating with mankind inside of time. Even though he's getting a view of heaven, he's still dealing with earth. He's still dealing with John seeing the vision from earth. So the time stamp would be very logical still to be there. So it's not that big of a deal, other than, it could probably create some interesting theological issues. But again, remember, time, for God to be inside of time, God would have had to start it at some point. Yeah. And then, you're limiting God by something where God is outside of all of that.
Yeah. And I think also, too, Pastor Mark, people that want to maybe espouse that belief have a propensity.
An agenda?
A propensity for always needing to have the answer or an answer.
Maybe.
And the problem is that we weren't here when the earth was formed, so we can't know that experientially that we were here as a witness other than what God's word tells us, which is what you've already said, I am. He's always existed.
Right.
Our problem is because we live within the constraints of time. We live within the constraints of a clock. Our life is timed. Our life has a beginning in this flesh anyway, and has an end, not for our eternal spiritual. So for us, in our finite fallen brains, because
right.
that's what we have,
right.
because of sin, we cannot possibly wrap our heads around that concept that somehow there's someone or something that exists outside of what we know.
Yeah.
And the problem is that you need to go read Isaiah 55, because God's ways are not our ways. And you need to understand what Paul said, and if anyone could boast about his knowledge of things, it was Paul. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, he says, "For now I see in a mirror dimly," which
right.
means, you know what? I don't get everything right now.
Right.
But when I go to see Jesus face to face, then I'm going to have an understanding that I don't have right now. And quite honestly, we're not capable of having that understanding because our brains cannot possibly comprehend if God were even to reveal to us how that were to be true.
Right. You're exactly right. We're very limited. We know that.
Yeah, we are.
Like I said, I think it's important to understand it, though, because if you do go with a timestamp and God inside of that, that means God began at some point.
Yeah, exactly.
And that changes everything theologically, biblically. So it's impossible for God to be inside of time. He has to be outside of time. And that's really one of the things to me, Greg, that has been so wonderful about sharing about just the truth of God's word and the eternalness of it. Because I remember, either growing up or early on in my Christian faith, you hear people say, well, the Bible's outdated.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, there is no date.
That's a good point, because the word is God.
And he's outside of time, which means you can't put a timestamp on the word. What they're saying in essence is the language being used to interpret it is an older language. That's what they're saying. But you can't put a date on something that is outside of time. So the Bible, God's word, and God, which he says is eternal, is outside of time, which means it'll never get old. It'll never run out. It never loses its authority. Nothing will ever change. It is what it is for eternity. And that kind of locks people into a box of, what are you going to do with that? You got to believe it or not believe it, obey it or disobey
right.
it. And so that's probably why they don't like it. And they say, oh, it's so outdated, because they're saying, I can't sleep around, I can't do this. Oh, no, you can't. It's not even inside of time. It's outside of, you can't put a date on it.
Yeah.
So anyway.
And it's living and powerful. Hebrews 4:12. So are you going to say that God's lying there in Hebrews, that it's not a living, it's not living and powerful? It was something that was just written by men within a time frame?
Yeah.
Or are you going to believe what John 1:1 says?
Yeah.
That's and right. just because you can't understand how something that's in a book can be part of something that's eternal,
yeah.
again, I reference you back to the other scriptures. just because we don't understand it doesn't mean it's not true.
That's right. That's right. One last thing I want to touch on before we move on, and because it's real apropos to what's going on in Minnesota and around the globe in the last days, and that is spiritual warfare. Just so our listeners can be praying and have a better understanding. You know, this is truly a spiritual battle that we're seeing going on in the streets of America. And we need to be praying as believers. I think that's going to be where the battle's going to be won. We need to be praying for the people of Minnesota
Absolutely.
And around the globe, not just there. Yeah. I mean, it's all over. But we're right now at the end of Ephesians 6, or in Ephesians 6, on Sunday mornings, talking about spiritual warfare. And we talked about regional demons and authorities. And if Daniel chapter 10, if you want to see those, it's very clear. It talks about the different levels of powers that are out there, principalities, powers, and all this in Ephesians 6. It's like a military that has different rankings. And you can see some of those in Daniel chapter 10, where God sends the angel to Daniel, and these demons fight against, don't let him through, and then Michael comes to help him break on through. And you have like the prince of Greece and the prince of Persia and the king of Tyre and all these things. So you're looking at all these different leaders over these nations. Well, they're still there today. Look, these are demonic beings that are there, and they're fighting today. And so we have to recognize that so that we know how to pray for our city and our nation, asking God to rebuke those demons that are in those regions, and be praying for the regional demons and the demonic activity that's going on there in Minnesota, because that's really what the problem is. It's a rebellion against authority. And remember, as long as our authorities are not asking us to go against God's word, we need to come under that authority and obey. And for somebody to try to say, well, they're asking us to go against God's word. No, they're not. They're simply trying to say those who are here illegally need to go home. And that's the law of the land. It's tragic that anybody gets hurt in that. But if you don't go out and fight against them, nobody ever gets hurt.
Right.
So it's rebellion to authority is what's happening. And then at the same time, it's led demonically, because, again, not just that issue. I don't know if the demons care that much about that issue. The demons, it's not like they're out to get ICE or law enforcement. It's just rebellion. Because if you can get people to rebel, you're rebelling against God. If you rebel against the authorities, and then Satan can win because he can destroy society. So just be praying for that and against that, you know, because that's really the battle that they're facing right now in Minnesota. This is a spiritual battle, and be lifting things up to the Lord. Do that spiritual battle through prayer for the people there.
Amen. Speaking of spiritual battles, there shall be a big one coming to an Ezekiel theater near you, but until then, they're just not quite ready yet. This is from the timesofisrael.com. This article is dated January 29th. Russia, Turkey are seeking U.S.-Iran talks to stave off conflict amid Trump's threats.
Yeah, now this is interesting. Very interesting when you talk about what's happening there in this thing where the threats are now going toward Iran. You're watching some of the partners and friends of Iran rising up now to try to keep this from causing more damage militarily. And again, you would expect Russia to be there. Turkey's going to be right there. And that's what's happening. Like, hey, just don't attack. And let me just say this. President Trump really, when I look back, I know what he was doing when he told the people of Iran. He said, you know what helps on the way? He was encouraging them to rise up to hopefully overthrow the Iranian government. The problem is help has been so long in getting there, and so many have gone out in boldness, and so many have lost their lives. Tens of thousands have been killed now by the government that I almost wish he hadn't said anything until the help was really there. Because so many have thought, well, they're going to act like today or tomorrow or next week, and so they're dying. And Greg, I just heard again, you know, the president's trying to putting pressure on them about these public executions. They're rounding up people and privately executing them. They just took a huge crowd this week, apparently, and they've put them in prison. I know what they're going to do. They're going to execute all of them. And they say there's so many bodies that reports are coming out of there. There's so many bodies. They're having trouble. How do we get rid of these bodies? What do we do with them? How can we do this without the world finding out? And they're trying to get rid of these masses of bodies. Well, some of you can't. A lot of the videos are getting out, even though they blocked the internet. A lot of these things are getting out. And so in one way, I wish he'd not said anything unless he was going to do it and until he did it. I still believe he's going to, but it's looking more like now it's going to be more surgical, and it's going to be, military bases, Revolutionary Guard, maybe even try to take out their leader, you know, take out Khomeini. That'd be great. But the thing is that if you say that and wait so long and do nothing,
I know
they're just massacring people. So I really wish that had been handled differently. But
yeah.
Either way, it says Russia and Turkey are pushing for negotiations in the standoff between Tehran and Washington after President Trump threatened new military strikes on Iran. It is clear that the potential for negotiations have exhausted. Have not exhausted, said Dmitry Peskov on Thursday from Russia. Any use of force can only create chaos in the region and lead to very dangerous consequences. Well, that's exactly what they said last time. It didn't lead to any dangerous consequences. It just took out their nuclear site. So they're just trying to throw rhetoric out there. You're going to make the whole Middle East unstable. Well, no, it didn't make it unstable last time. No reason to think it's going to be unstable this time. But they're fighting, saying, look, just let them talk. Again, standing with them because they do ally with them. Peskov's comments came a day after Trump urged Iran to come to the table and to make a deal on nuclear weapons or face a possible U.S. attack. A U.S. naval strike group arrived in the Middle East waters on Monday. So finally, the Abraham Lincoln got there on Monday, and Trump warning, okay, we're ready and willing to and able now to hit Iran if necessary. I think he'll do something. I think they're getting in place. The plans are in place. Iran officially rejected their, any more negotiations. They sent him a message either today or yesterday. We're done. We're done talking. How foolish is that? So now it's, okay, it's back in America's court, and he'll do something. The problem is, if he does these surgical strikes against Revolutionary Guard, that'll be good. If he takes out the leader, that'll be good. But if you don't get something that helps the people be able to overthrow those that are rounding them up and killing them, I'm afraid this is going to keep going. And I don't really know what it's going to do. Now, maybe it will. Maybe they can tip the scales enough to where this thing will turn over and Iran will become once again a nation that's free with, you know, a democratically elected leader and all that. But it's really heartbreaking, Greg, the reports. I mean, they're killing everybody. Women, children, they're just shooting them in the head, hanging them. It's really bad.
And so you wonder so that's the human side of it, which is just absolutely atrocious.
Yeah.
And then there's the prophetic side that we can't help but look at, because that's really the point of this show.
Right.
Is that how, if it does impact Ezekiel?
Yeah. Again,
I mean, we know it's going to happen, but does that kind of mean that that whole prophecy will be delayed?
Yeah, we talked
because
about
of
that,
this.
Yeah, we talked about that last week. You know, again, I think I think that really it's going to be a surprise. So I think that if we think it's delayed, that might be when it happens. Because when it happens,
there you go.
Well, think about it. When it happens, Israel's going to think that everything's hunky dory. They're going to be thinking, hey, we have peace, no issues, and they're going to be shocked when Iran moves on them. So, you know, there's different scenarios. Could they, Khomeini and Iran back off and say, okay, we're not going to attack Israel and just kind of play along with the rest of the world for a while and suddenly move? Or will he get taken out and somebody else get in that's just as bad but pretends like the guy that's leading Syria right now?
Right.
Or is it going to maybe turn to a good guy, then the good guy gets taken out and somebody else takes over, and at that minute they move? We don't know.
Or are we understanding what Ezekiel means by that there will be a Russian-Iranian-led invasion, leading by what? Leading by decree or leading by the sheer number of Iranian people that are coming on that northern border? Because I'm thinking they're wiping all these people out. You know, theoretically, who do you have left to go and amass yourself on a border?
Yeah.
Or is it really just from a governmental position that you're supporting this? You know, I mean, I don't know what Ezekiel saw that led him to say what he said.
Well, he says the troops. I mean, troops from both
troops.
Russia
okay,
and Iran.
There you go.
Yeah, they're going to be military, and they're going to be coming in, and that's where they come in. He wipes those armies out as they come in. So that is going to happen.
I wasn't sure if there was another context there.
It is going to happen. But what are those little Russian hats they wear? Do you know the name of those?
Oh, I don't know.
If you see a turkey wearing one of those.
Yes.
A Russian turkey heading toward Iran. That's where we have to really get concerned.
Yes.
The little tassel.
Yes, the tassel. Not to be confused with the Shriners.
Yeah.
Because they've got a little hat with a tassel on it, too.
I'm not too sure. If you look into what they teach, it might be a Shriner. Either way. But, yeah, I'm being silly at this point. But the bottom line is, yeah, I mean, again, it's going to happen. So, but there is that indication where it says they're going to be saying, hey, we finally have peace with our neighbors. And that's when this Russian invasion and Iranian invasion is going to happen. So there may be a turnover where it looks like, hey,
when you least expect it.
Yeah, where somebody news in there is going to be their buddy, but really behind the scenes. Because remember, in Islam, you can lie, and Allah approves of that. Matter of fact, he says if you can lie to further the cause of Allah, then that's a good lie. You'll have the blessing of their God, of Allah. So who knows, because that you can't deal with somebody who's going to deal in truth and know they're going to deal in truth, even when it comes to matters of their faith. It could be anything, but it's going to happen, and it's going to be a surprise, I think, to the world and a shock to the world. And I wouldn't be, even if he gets taken out of power, I wouldn't write that off. Let's just keep our eye on there and watch what's happening, because you know that it's a boiling point over there. At any moment, they could move. I believe that.
All right, as we come back to America for an article here. This could also be a side category entitled Be Careful What You Vote For or Who You Vote For. This is from Fox News, dated January 24th. Expert warns that Virginia Democrats are frustrating law enforcement with a bill axing prison time for violent crime.
Yeah.
We're not talking about nonviolent here. Violent crime.
Yeah, it's amazing. When you look at this, Greg, the Bible says that as nations and people fall away from God, they reverse everything. Good becomes evil. Evil becomes good.
Woe to those.
Yeah, and that's you always remind us of Isaiah 5:20, which says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, who think that dark chocolate's better than milk chocolate. I mean, the scripture goes on right there. And anyway, I'm just kidding. But the bottom line is that Greg, for the Christian, it so defies logic that it just blows my mind.
That's when you know it's a spiritual battle.
I mean, that article,
yep.
when they say in this article that they're trying to take away prison time for horrible crimes against people, you're like, who's running the show over there? Who are you people?
What regional demon is this?
What is wrong? What is wrong with you? What, you know, you feel God's frustration saying, what has happened? How have you become so blinded? How can you say somebody that rapes someone, well, let's just let them off and they'll give them a predetermined sentence, or somebody that does these horrible things? No, there should be predetermined sentences for the things that people do that are horrible. It is a deterrent, and it's the proper judgment against them. And when you come in as leaders and say, you know what, so what, they rape people, so let them go. Just, you know, don't even charge them bail. Be nice to them. If we're just nice, they'll quit doing it. And it's the mindset where people just, number one, they're lost. They can't see. And I think sometimes they don't understand the sin nature. But it's this thing where, I mean, I look at what's happening. Look, I go back to what's happening in Minnesota. And I want to just say a disclaimer again, because we may have some unbelievers that are listening, and even Christians who are struggling with some of these things. And I want to make sure that I say this the right way. Look, nobody celebrates anybody getting hurt ever.
Amen.
And I think we're all unified on that. But here's the bottom line. The Bible says in Romans 13, these are the God-ordained authorities simply carrying out the law. And when you as legal officials there tell people to go and fight them,
try to obstruct what they're called to do.
Yes, when they already said right now the numbers are 70% of them are rapists and child sodomy and all these things, they're catching these people. Some of these guys are the worst of the worst. I'm not saying that everybody has that kind of crime under their belt, so to speak, but these guys are. And you're saying, go fight them and put yourself in harm's way. What are you thinking? I mean, I would say, get out of the way. Let them go get the child pedophile that's raping these kids and sodomizing them. Let them get the guy that's raping people. Let them go get those people. Get them out of here. They're saying, these are our neighbors. You really want a rapist and a child sodomizer as your neighbor? I mean, what is happening to our mind? Again, this doesn't mean you give carte blanche to police walking in and just beating up innocent people with clubs. Okay, I'm not talking about just police that are rogue. But these police, all they're doing is showing up to arrest someone and having to defend themselves from being attacked, so people are getting hurt. That's the problem. And so when you see things like this where they want to change the laws and change the bill, things against the criminals, this is a spiritual result of rejection of God.
And a result of Romans chapter 1 there around verses 18 through 20.
Yeah.
You know, those that worship the creature rather than the creator, God gives them over to a depraved or a debased mind, in other words. And so it's like, they think they're really in the right.
They do. But they're calling good evil and evil good. And I want to just say this again for those who may be listening and don't agree. Look, are there bad cops? Absolutely. Should they be prosecuted? Absolutely. Are there bad ICE agents? Absolutely. There's people bad in every area. Should they be prosecuted? Absolutely. So this is not carte blanche saying if you're an ICE agent or you're a policeman, you can go and just do whatever you want to anybody. No, that's wrong. You cannot do that. You too, as those leaders, you're under the law. What I'm saying is, when they're not breaking the law and they're simply obeying the law, then leave them alone. They're doing what they've been called to do by God, Romans 13.
Well, and because there might be bad people on the other side does not justify you stepping in and going against Romans 13
right.
and obstructing the law enforcement going and doing their job just because you think there might be something bad, a bad person on the other side.
And then as a visceral response, making good evil and evil good, like yes, the new bill proposed by Democrats in the Virginia state legislature is raising concerns regarding the removal of minimum prison sentences for various violent felony crimes. Within days of the Democratic governor, Abigail Spanberger, being sworn in, members of her party introduced a flurry of amendments looking to end mandatory minimum sentences for various crimes within the state. According to Jason Mayaris, the former Republican attorney general, House Bill 863 includes proposals to effectively eliminate minimum sentence for manslaughter, rape, possession and distribution of child pornography, which leads to sodomy.
Wow.
Assault and rape. Assault of a law enforcement officer and other repeat violent felonies. Unbelievable. Additionally, Democrats are also looking to remove the mandatory 5-day minimum sentence for DUI offenders. Now, again, that one, whatever. You decide as a state to do on that one. That's, but when you're talking about rapists and all these other things, you're saying, look, let's just take those requirements off of them. This is insane. You know, Greg, I just heard today that the guy that shot the guy in the street, the Italian, Mangione. Yeah, Mangione.
Or whatever he is.
Yeah.
Not Chuck Mangione.
I always think too about the quarterback.
Oh, Luigi. It's Luigi Man something.
Mangione. Yeah. Luigi Mangione. Anyway, that sounds like a video game. The little guy drives the little car with the
little
hat.
Mario Kart.
Thank you. Sorry. Yes. Okay, but his name's Luigi.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway, I'm sorry. We digress.
Yes.
Here's the bottom line. A judge today said, okay, we're taking the death penalty off. You can't even bring that in.
Why?
Well, I don't know all the legal arguments they're using, but here's the point. God says, if you kill someone, you're to be put to death. What that judge said today is, I'm greater than God. I know God said that, but I say this. That's scary stuff, because one day you're going to stand before God and give account for that. And you know, this now they're saying here now in Virginia, well, now child pornography and manslaughter and rape and all this, we're not even going to put official minimum sentencing on them.
And you're gonna take assaulting a law enforcement officer off the books as a crime?
I think that's part of the reason they're doing it, because that way you can go and attack an ICE agent or a policeman and not have to worry about it. And right now, when you do that, you get in big trouble. I think that's part of it. I think this is part of the anti-ICE movement in Virginia to throw that part in at the end as an addendum, because then if you attack a policeman or you attack an ICE agent, it's okay.
That is the expressway to anarchy.
Is that not what we're seeing in the streets right now?
Yes.
in Minnesota?
Yes.
So again, and just again for our listeners, I realize there are governments that go rogue. There are government officials that do wrong things, and God's going to hold them accountable. And there are times when we say to the government, no. We won't do that, because if you're asking us to go against the word of God, we're going to stand with God's word. We're not doing that. But whenever you have simply just officials going out to obey the laws on the books that the American people passed through their Congress and Senate, then leave them alone and let them do their job. And when you start standing against, rebelling against authority, the Bible says that you bring consequences on yourself. And so, and then you watch this, and then it goes into the good is bad, bad is good. Everything gets reversed, Greg, and it's amazing. I remember I've shared this with you before, but you know what? When I came out of my sin and out of the evil of the world and got saved, after that happened, I had someone in the world tell me, you're the problem with America. You're the one that's getting us in all this trouble now because you're living for Christ. How opposite and how reversed is their reality?
Yeah.
No, I am now helping America. I'm stopping the things I was doing that was causing America to be worse. Yet because they see good as evil and evil as good, they can't see. Their mind's reversed. The unbeliever's mind is absolutely garbled and reversed.
Absolutely. Well, and I'm sure we're going to see more of this coming out in the coming weeks.
Absolutely.
But you want to know what, though, Pastor Mark? We can't stop doing what is right.
That's right. That's right. And so why can't we be friends?
Well, I think you
because
just already
light
said
and dark.
It.
Yes, that's right.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah, that's a whole nother.
We just answered it. You play the song. We answered it before the song played.
I know. It's like Jeopardy.
Yes.
Why can't we
Except
be
not
friends?
Not nearly as smart.
Definitely not. All right. Israel Today, January 27th, reporting a dramatic surge in anti-Semitism and violence against Jews worldwide. before Pastor Mark comments, folks, do not grow weary of hearing this.
Yeah.
Do not tune this out. This is a major prophetic thing that's going to lead to other things.
It really is. And Greg, I'll make a biblical comment on that. As I was reading the word this morning before I jumped into this article, you know, people that try to say, well, the Jews, God's done with the Jews. God doesn't have any more promises. I'm reading about what's happening at the second coming and the Jews, that how he's dealing with the Jews and talking to the Jews that he brought back into the land as he's coming back. I mean, and so again, but you're going to see as he's drawing them back, violence is increasing against them. And I believe and feel certain that much of the violence that is now being promoted against the Jews is being used by God to drive them back to the Holy Land. They're going to have to go home because you got to look, if everybody in the world hates you but one place, then you want to end up eventually in that place so you're not hated all the time.
Exactly.
And worldwide, the hatred toward them is growing. They need to all gather together where they're going to can support each other, and that's what God is doing now by driving them back in the land. But this, on the occasion of the International Holocaust Remembrance Day, which, by the way, yesterday people say, well, the Holocaust never even happened. I hear that. I'm like, oh, my goodness. I mean, they believe that, too. They believe it. They believe they went in and built the camps. They built ovens later and put things in to make it look like they were doing that. And they put in the poison chambers. They did that to make it look like they were doing that. It's like, it blows your mind. You know, you'll go to no lengths to stop the truth from getting out. Anyway, on that day, Holocaust Remembrance Day, the Israeli Ministry of the Diaspora Affairs, that's being spread around the globe, and Combating Anti-Semitism has published its annual interim report on global anti-Semitism trends. The report paints an extremely alarming picture of clear intensification of anti-Semitic tendencies worldwide in 2025. According to the report, 815 serious anti-Semitic incidents were documented globally in 2025. That's serious events in which 21 Jewish people were murdered. At the same time, authorities identified 124 million anti-Semitic posts on the platform X, as well as more than 4,000 anti-Israel demonstrations, some of which escalated into direct incitement against Jews. The majority, and this is where they happen, the majority of the incidents happen in Western countries, not the Muslim countries. Isn't that interesting? Where you see the enemy moving now. He's trying to infiltrate the West to hate the Jews because
the Muslims already hate them.
They already hate them.
Right.
The Middle Eastern countries hate them. But now you say, now he wants to turn the world against. So you see the spiritual battle. We talked about the regional demons and the spiritual warfare. The majority of incidents occurred in Western countries, including the United States, United Kingdom, France, Australia, and Canada. Canada, they are a nation, right?
I don't know. However President Trump is terming it, I'm not too sure.
I wasn't sure if it's a region, a state.
A state. Is it prime minister?
Campground.
Yeah, campground.
I'm not picking on, look, if you're from Canada, we love you. I'm just having fun with it, with all the stuff going on with Canada. But this underscores that anti-Semitism has long become less border security and more socio-political challenge. The report also shows a clear correlation between the international security events and sudden spikes in violence and incitement. So that's all I'm going to cover on that. We hear these all the time, but Greg brought up the point that I'll make now, and that is, why leave this in here? Because now the 2025 report came out, and again, it's still going up. And when you say, well, I've heard of larger numbers of things happening to Jews. No, you got to realize these are major events where people got murdered or huge things happened. That's what's escalating as well. So you're going to see more and more of that. There is such a hatred growing for the Jews. I mean, it is the next generation scares me, Greg, because I'm hearing some of the next generation, even within the church, our church generation is turning against the Jews. They think God is through with them and they don't know their Bibles and they're not being led by the Spirit. And it's very concerning.
You know, just real quick, Pastor Mark, just a thought here. You know, when you're talking about these regional demons and spirits and stuff like that, and we go back to Passover week, and at the beginning of Passover week, you know, people are laying out palm branches in their coats, singing Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Right.
And by the end of the week, they're wanting to let a criminal go free in order to murder an innocent man in Christ.
Yeah.
That was a spiritual battle. Now, I don't understand if that was a regional demon involved or anything, but kind of the same mindset is kind of what I'm seeing in Minneapolis, where it's like, no, we want to let the criminals go free, and we want to persecute those that aren't deserving of being persecuted.
Yeah.
So it's, I know it's a spiritual battle in total context, but I don't know specifically in the spiritual battle of things who's stirring the pot. You know, is it the same spirit from the days of Christ in that Passover week, Or is it a regional thing and they communicate to each other and, hey, you do the same thing over here that I did over there? I mean, I don't know.
No, again, it's probably a mixture of all of that. But, Greg, yeah, that's a great example, too, because think about it. The way they're seeing things is, this is what happens, again, with those that can't see clear, the unbelieving mind. You take somebody, say, has sodomized a child who's here illegally, and they sodomized a child, and the police comes to arrest them. And if they don't do it the way you think it should have been done, if the arrest doesn't happen the way you thought the arrest should have been done, then now the arresters are the bad guys. So they forget that this person sodomized a child. Oh, that's secondary. Don't worry about that. But did you see the way they arrested him? They threw him to the ground and put handcuffs on him. I'm not sure they read him his rights. Did you look how they did that? Whoa, 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 whoa. You're forgetting why they went to arrest him. He sodomized a child. So maybe they didn't do everything perfect. But why did they even show up? Because you're getting somebody who sodomized a child. Don't attack the officer for what this person did, even if they didn't do it 100% right. Again, that doesn't mean you can walk in and just guns blazing and do whatever. I'm not saying that. But at the same time, there's this blindness where it's like it doesn't matter what crime they committed. Almost like here we read the Democrats, good is bad, evil, you know, good is bad, bad is good. It doesn't matter what they did. It's just that we have an approach we believe has to be taken, and if you don't approach it the way that we think, then you're evil people.
So you're a racist.
You're shifting the evil from the person that did the evil onto those that are trying to stop them. Again, these are all spiritual consequences of a nation and a world turning away from God.
All right, our smorgasbord of yuck is pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption. This is from AccuWeather.com, dated January 25th. And, of course, I would say the majority of the country is already aware of this.
Yes.
Ice storm threatens Texas to Virginia with widespread power outages and travel shutdowns. And we know, Pastor Mark, just here in the state of Tennessee, especially middle to west Tennessee, the devastation that this storm created, and people are still without power.
Yeah, and it hit Tennessee more than any other place. I think there are 300 and something thousand homes without power in Tennessee. The closest other state was 180 something thousand. That may have been Arkansas. I can't remember. So we got hit the hardest. But again, everybody knows about this storm. I left that headline in here just to say this. Again, don't forget, you're going to be seeing more of these types of events as we get closer to the Lord's return. Matthew 24, you're going to see more and more bizarre weather-related events. And that's why we said earlier, people try to ride it off to climate change. No, it's not climate change. There may be and probably is. There has been historically ups and downs in heat and cold. That's not the point. I'm not going to argue that. But the Bible says in Romans 8:22 that the earth is groaning as the Lord's return gets closer. So as we see the Lord getting closer, you're going to see more of these kind of storms, whether they're cold or hot storms or whatever it's going to be. You're going to see more of this. And around the globe, you're going to see more earthquakes and volcanoes and all this. So again, I wanted to point out this massive historical type of storm that hit the nation just with Matthew 24 in mind.
Now, our next story, Pastor Mark, we probably could have thrown into the beginning as you were talking, but this is from allisraelnews.com, dated January 26th. Israeli intelligence provided proof to the United States of the Iranian regime's mass executions of protesters.
Yeah, this is interesting because, remember, the president had come out and said, hey, we told them to stop executing people. They quit executing people. Well, Israel knows that's not true. And they have their spies there. They get the information to the administration, to the president, and show them, hey, look, here's what's really going on. Why would they do that? Because they want him to back off of that statement. Say, don't sit there and give them credit to act like somehow they've quit massacring their own people. They are still massacring their own people. Here's the evidence. And see, it was right after that President Trump at least at the point said, all right, well, you know what? It looks like maybe something needs to be done. So this is a good sway they have on him. He's being lied to, and they're showing him the facts. Israel has helped the U.S. obtain intelligence about the mass executions of protesters in Iran in the past weeks, according to Israel Hayom, reported Sunday. This intelligence contradicted the message that U.S. President Donald Trump claimed to have received from Iranian President Mossad Pakhashian and Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi, who said that no executions were being conducted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. President Trump even listed those assurances by the Iranian government as justification for postponing a planned strike on Iran. The Israel Hayom report claims that the communication from the Peshekian was a direct message to Trump, the Trump administration. However, the Iranian regime denied such a message was ever sent. I guarantee it was sent.
Mm-hmm.
Recent reports from the sites like the opposition-linked Iran International claim that the Iranian regime was communicating one message to President Trump, but it took advantage of the internet blackout to conduct the deadliest crackdown in Iranian history. According to the report, the number of fatalities overwhelmed the regime's ability to handle the bodies. The stock of body bags was exhausted. The large trucks replaced ambulances tasked with transporting the dead. Additionally, reports coming out of Iran indicate that hundreds were executed by shooting or hanging without a trial. Now, Greg, you're seeing all kinds of numbers online. I'll just say this.
I know.
Sources coming out of Iran that have shown, you know, again, they're on a site that has shown to be fairly trustworthy in the past, are saying it could be as high as 80,000. They're not saying they're saying around 30,000 and all these different numbers, but even if it's only 30,000, horrible massacres going on, and something needs to be done.
Yeah, and soon.
Yes.
All right. Whether you're being persecuted for standing up to an evil regime or persecuted for being a Jew, the Christian cannot think that they are going to escape persecution as well. This is from ChristianPost.com, dated January 14th. Open Doors U.S. has released their 2026 World Watch List, and persecution is not contracting, it's expanding.
No, they say 388 million Christians face high levels of persecution, an increase of over 8 million from last year. The Christian persecution has reached an unprecedented scale worldwide, and findings of Open Doors U.S. show that 388 million Christians, again, under this persecution. Look at this. This is interesting, especially a lot of what's going on in Minnesota. Somalia has landed as the second most dangerous country in the world for Christians.
Shocking.
For the fourth consecutive year. Now, I'm not picking on Somalis.
I know,
some wonderful Somalis.
Yes. But we're talking from the spiritual position.
Yes. But it says Somali Christians are among the most extremely persecuted in the world by Somalians. You could be sitting literally in a cafeteria enjoying your meal, and someone could simply come over and try to cut your head off.
Wow.
That's how serious it is in Somalia. So Somalia is right at the very top. They're the second most dangerous country in the world for Christians. Now we have lots of Somalis coming here. And again, those that come in the right way and come in with the love of America, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Yeah.
But for those that are coming in wanting to kill Americans and kill Christians, no, they should not be welcome, and they should be sent home.
Amen. All right, we've got some good news. We can always use new good news, and this time it's courtesy of Crosswalk.com. Dated January 15th, Brandon Lake takes Good Morning America to church, says he's pointing people to Jesus.
Yeah, it's always good when you have these large-scale witnesses on these news broadcasts, and Brandon Lake did that. It's Grammy-winning Christian artist Brandon Lake brought a taste of church to ABC's Good Morning America on Monday, performing his hit song, Hard-Fought Hallelujah, and telling viewers his mission is to spread God's love. Lake performed the hit title just 3 months after it took home three awards at the 25 Dove Awards, including Song of the Year, Music Video of the Year, and Bluegrass Country Roots Recorded Song of the Year. Told by host Laura Spencer that he is helping to fuel the Christian music genre's explosion, Lake remained humble. He said, I'm just trying to chase one song after the other and point people to a hope that's higher and point them to Jesus, he said. Heartfelt Hallelujah was initially released as a solo single featuring only Lake's vocals, but it surged in popularity after he teamed up with Jelly Roll for a collaboration. I quote, I just knew that he would probably identify with these lyrics because he has worn his faith on his sleeve. Lake, a five-time Grammy winner, told Good Morning America, I'm so proud of him that he's a man of faith, but he's like, yo, I don't have it all together either. And that's what this song is about. It's just singing out Hallelujah, even when you don't feel like it. Lake caught Spencer off guard when he joked about Maury Povich, another guest on the episode, who was again, he says, we tell both people who their father is. I tell them who the Heavenly Father is, because Povich is known for hosting a long-running reality program, Maury, which features dramatic paternity test results. So he helps them find their earthly father. He's saying, hey, I'm here to try to help people find their heavenly father. That was a good Holy Spirit, no doubt, probably moving in his heart to do that. But again, it's always great to see, the Christians that are well-known not being afraid to make a stand and be bold for the Lord and his faith and their faith in the Lord. And
Pastor Mark, let me just real quick.
Sure.
What if someone's out there and they don't have the boldness right now to share the Lord? What would you suggest they do?
I would say you pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's where the power comes from. You know, there are three workings of the Spirit. He works in us at salvation. He is with us, the Bible says. There's a third word that says he comes upon us. And every time you see the upon there in Scripture, there's power that comes with that. And we need that power to be a witness and testimony to the world around us. And again, so just pray for God. Say, God, come upon me with your power. Give me boldness. And then God will be faithful to do that. I encourage you to pray that every day. But you have to know him first. So for those of you listening right now who don't know the Lord, you've never given your life to the Lord, look, maybe God right now is convicting you that you need to be saved. He's shown you your sin, and you know you can't get into heaven as a sinner. The Bible says you can't, and you can only go through Jesus Christ. The Bible says that God came to the earth in human form through Jesus Christ. He died on a cross for you, poured his blood out for your sins on that cross, and then resurrected. He rose 3 days later from the grave. And anybody that believes that he did that, that has forgiveness of their sin, and receives him as Lord and Savior, the Bible says you will be born again and you will have your place in heaven. And while we're talking about all these prophetic events, you will be a part of them. You will be there at the wedding supper of the Lamb, at the rapture of the church, and you will be there for the rest of eternity. So welcome to the kingdom. If you do that, call us here at Calvary Chapel, 865-609-1385. I didn't call that number so long. I just hit the button. 865-609-1385, and a pastor will be here to talk to you. God bless you.
All right, Pastor Mark, thank you. It's on speed dial.
Yes.
Thank you, folks, for listening. Don't forget to go to thewaymedia.net for everything Signs of the Times related, plus other content to build you up in your Christian walk with Jesus. And we will see you back here next Friday at 1:30 as we continue to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's Word as signs of the times.
P 101